Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Circle Sanctuary Network Podcasts, brought to you by Circle Sanctuary, one of the oldest nature spirituality churches in the United States, connecting people of nature-centered paths around the world. Join us through the week for a variety of shows discussing various topics, celebrating the divine in all of its forms, through nature worship, rituals, education, and building bridges of community.
Welcome to our show. My name is Deborah Rose, and I'm your host on Circle Talk. Circle Talk is one of the shows featured on the Circle Sanctuary Network podcast, or CSNP. The Circle Sanctuary Network podcast team have put together a lineup of rotating shows during the month. Mondays feature Lunatic Mondays with host Laura Gonzalez, alternating weeks in English and Spanish. It can't be Tuesday without Circle Talk, and I continue to be the host for this fun show on the first and third Tuesdays of each month. Wednesdays features Nature Spirituality with Selena Fox. Are you in the mood for some magic? Then you'll want to tune in on Thursday for Moon Magic with David and Jeanette Ewing. It is such a fun and informative lineup of shows. I hope you try them all. Hey, have you registered for Pagan Spirit Gathering, or PSG as we call it? It's PSG's 40th anniversary. Come celebrate summer solstice in a magical pagan village community during Summer Solstice Week, June 14th through the 21st, 2020. Pagan Spirit Gathering will be in a new location this year. It will be held at the Pulaski County Fort Leonard Wood Shrine Camp near Waynesville, Missouri. To register or find out more information, please go to circlesanctuary.org, click on the Events tab, and then go to Pagan Spirit Gathering. There you'll find lots of information and be able to look at all the musicians and presenters we're featuring this year. If you do come to PSG, you'll probably get to meet one or both of our guests tonight, Reverend River Higginbotham and Reverend Eric Eldridge. They both serve on Circle Sanctuary's administrative team for Circle's Minister Training Program. Let's hear a little bit about them both. River connects and brings passionate concern for pagan community into the world in many different ways. He is a member of Circle Sanctuary and a Circle Sanctuary minister. River helped start and sustain the St. Louis Pagan Pride, the Pagan Picnic, that is in its 28th year. He currently serves on the committee for St. Louis Pagan Picnic. He is a co-author, along with Joyce Higginbotham, of several books, Paganism, An Introduction to Earth-Centered Religions, Pagan Spirituality, and Crystal Paganism. He is trained with and served on staff at Diana's Grove Retreat Center from 2008 to 2012, with a focus on ritual, facilitation skills, and group dynamics. River has been a long participant at PSG in many roles. River and friends coordinate the enchantment, an experience of harmony and connection at PSG. He represents Circle Sanctuary at the Parliament of Worlds Religions in 2009, 2015, and 2018. And he currently, as we said, serves on Circle Sanctuary's Administrative Team Ministry Training Program. Eric Eldridge is a recently ordained minister of Circle Sanctuary who brings experience in interfaith collaboration and innovative energy to a pagan clergy education. He lives near Washington, D.C., is a radical fairy shaman and a priest of Stone Circle Wicca and coordinator of the LGBTQ Interfaith Center Faith. Eldridge brings to Circle 30 years of experience in event training, public relations, and community organizing in the pagan community. He is the co-founder and priest and teacher of an LGBTQ inclusive curriculum of Stone Circle Wicca. In his professional life, he holds a master's degree that includes teaching the dynamics of group identity, social linguistics, and cross-cultural relations. Eldridge writes music, liturgy, and rituals that inspire community cohesion and individual spiritual growth. And as we said, he also serves on the administration team for Circle Sanctuary's Minister Training Program. River and Eldridge have their combined years of experience, and they are a dynamic duo serving Circle Sanctuaries as leaders of the Minister Training Program, with advice and guidance from Senior Minister Selena Fox and Circle Sanctuary's Clergy Credentialing Committee, assists individuals to gain a background in clergy education, ethics, and leadership. and we're going to talk about what each student does and how they get through the program. Let's bring them on and find out more about Circle Sanctuary's Minister Training Program. Welcome.
Hello. Well, I'm glad to be here. This is Eldridge.
Hey, Eldridge. I guess River is on his way.
Well,
so
actually, Deborah, good evening, and I'm glad, I'm happy that I'm here also. Glad to talk to you tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Eldridge, I'm glad we didn't say anything gossipy about him either.
Well, it's true.
Thank both of you for
your busy
schedules and coming on. I, again, went through, and you can talk a little bit about the history. I know for a long time, Circle Sanctuary has always ordained ministers, but it was a very informal program. They got a more formalized program, and I was in the first class of that about 5 or 6 years ago. Tell us about, do you know a little bit about the history that you can tell us how it's came to be what it is?
I'll try to start with that.
Okay.
From my recollection and understanding, talking to Selena, is really it began as more of a Selena Fox one-on-one engagement with individual people who approached her and wanted to learn about being clergy, learn about serving as a minister, learn about supporting Circle Sanctuary and the role or the capacity of a minister. There were a number of our current ministers who worked through that program often, or worked through a program in that manner. Often they were people that had particularly focused interests. For example, our friend and minister of Circle Sanctuary, Dave Sassman. Dave did a lot of things with community building. He did a lot of things with some prison
with
ministry.
Military,
he did a lot of things with military. So, but it was really kind of on a case by case basis with Selena making the steps as appropriate to each individual back in that less organized time frame.
Right. She kind of did it one at a time, which is a real slow process. So, yeah.
And then I know, Deborah, you said that there was a part of the program where it got a little bit more structured, and I think that coincided with our companion here who's worked ministry training before, Michelle Boshears. Michelle helped bring some of the form and structure into this work with Selena.
Yeah, when I went through the program, there started out, I think there were three of us, Tiffany, Andes, Kern, and myself. And it was Michelle, and either Michelle or Selena taught classes. And that was, that was kind of it. And so it really evolved from there. So, and again, we started out with three. How many people do you have in the program now?
Eldridge, you want to feel that? I guess it's somewhere in the mid-teens.
More than three.
Yeah, it's like 15, right, Eldridge?
Yeah.
Something
that
somewhere in there.
It's true. We have 15, but we've also expanded. We have people that are specializing in different areas of ministry. We could talk about that, I guess, in a minute. But the most important thing is that we have a fall and a spring semester, and there are courses, we call it phase one and then phase two, and those run concurrently in the fall. And then we run the same phase one and phase two with a series of classes in the spring. And then we usually meet up and do training with the PLI, the Pagan Leadership Institute, during Pagan Spirit Gathering, or PSG. And so it provides a continuity for people to be able to have leadership training that is year-round, while in a variety of approaches. So We also meet online as well as in person. The other place that we meet in person is at Circle Sanctuary for some of the three-day festivals. And you'll find Circle Sanctuary ministers and ministry training program students. And we call it MTP, the Ministry Training Program, now. Mm-hmm. So if you hear us say MTP, that's the newer term that we've settled on. And so the Ministry Training Program students will learn about Circle as a requirement of being there in Barneveld, Wisconsin, on the land at Circle, as well as meeting at PSG, as well as meeting online. And I think, Deborah, in your time, you met all by telephone conference technology?
Absolutely. Yes, we just phoned. And again, at that time, you know, we would meet at PSG, and then we also met, as you said, at Circle Sanctuary at Fallon. So, I had the fortune of, I lived really close, within 2 hours of one of the students in there. So we got together a lot, and so that, you know, that was nice. But do you all, are you doing Zoom or video conferencing now?
Well, River, why don't you talk about the evolution from telephone conferencing to Zoom technology?
Very, very good. Glad to do that. The initial distance learning was just an audio teleconference, and
right.
I think Deborah, you experienced that, and that was really the norm up until about 2 years ago, and in that case, we'd have the phase one or the phase two classes would be a recorded teleconference with usually lecture or discussion and some homework on various topics. In fact, we'll probably want to go through the various areas that we cover in the program as we get deeper into the interview.
Absolutely.
But then we decided to move on into video conferencing using the Zoom platform beginning in the fall of 2018. I think it was fall, or maybe it might have been spring of 19. Essentially, that is certainly a superior way to do it. We were able to names and faces, and it makes it much easier to have presentation materials. And you know, we are not evolved to the point yet where we have a formal education learning platform. We don't operate at that. With that technology presently, but the video conferencing, and we record all of the classes, and all of those classes are available for students to view, and other Circle ministers can view, and then they can be reviewed in conjunction with doing homework assignments and things. So it's really a much more robust way that we're now operating. I'm very pleased with this.
Absolutely. And again, when I went through the program, it was kind of program and it just went through. And now explain to all of us, like, the areas you cover and what's the difference between phase one and phase two.
River, if you'll talk about phase one and phase two, then I'll tee up and talk about some of the class topics that we teach.
Yeah, and the competency categories, if you will, Eldridge. I think that's part of what we want to cover. The phase one stage, this is aimed at being introductory information for the students among, we have 10 different competencies of a Circle minister that are defined, and we can talk about that further in a bit. But for example, one of them is understand Circle Sanctuary and its ministries. And another one would be knowledge of pagan history and diversity. And so some of these that are information-based, knowledge-based, we'll emphasize those in phase one. And also we'll have some classes that that set the beginning of some things that are more skill-based, like pastoral psychology and counseling. That's a more skill-based thing, and we'll lay a foundation of that in some of the phase one classes. And the phase one generally lasts at least a year and a half, and usually 2 years for most students. And then once you've been in phase one and you've begun to take in the various topics in that mode, there would and attend a pagan spirit gathering and go to Circle Sanctuary event at Circle Land. Once the students have accomplished those prerequisites, then they could enter the phase two of the program, which tends to be a little bit more conversational, a little bit more in diving deeper into some of the topics. The emphasis shifts from just gaining information, although gaining information is still very important, but also to relating to each other and understanding more of the nuances about what it takes to be in service to a community. We do cover that all along, but we make a stronger point of it in the phase two. Also in phase two, we challenge students to begin thinking about their personal approaches to ministry and what it is that they're called to do, what particular specializations they have interest in. And we put that together in a practicum project, something that serves Circle Sanctuary's broader interests and goals, something that aligns with one of those goals or maybe multiple of those goals. And it's often intended to be a springboard into what the student will continue to do once they're done with their time in the ministry training, and if they graduate on through ordination, then usually projects.
Hello?
I'm still here.
Okay, we must have lost River. I know that
River.
Right.
Well, okay. Let me go ahead and talk about the competencies, because River's laid out the phase one that happens for like a year and a half, and then phase two, and then phase three, which is the practicum. And one of the things that we help differentiate for people is that some people want to be leaders of small groups. They want to provide leadership for a specific ritual or for an event, but that's different than being clergy and having a broader toolkit and a very stringent set of ethical responsibilities and a moral compass that helps you serve the larger community and the way that Circle presents itself to the public. And so let me tell you a little bit about those competencies, and then we can pick any of them to talk about. So there are 10 competencies. Hi, River. Glad you're back.
By the way, technology has allowed me to return. So, Eldridge, thank you for jumping in. I turn it right back over to you for the competencies.
Great. It's good timing, good timing. So competency one is to understand Circle Sanctuary and its ministries. The goal is not to doink people on the head and make them ministers or clergy, but to understand the unique and historic relevance of Circle Sanctuary and various ways to serve that Circle does locally, regionally, and nationally, and as Selena does, doing global outreach as well.
Absolutely.
So that's understanding Circle Sanctuary and its ministries. And then competency two is the ability to facilitate large and small group ritual. So a Circle minister has to be able to know what to do when you have a group of 300 or 500, but also how to minister to small groups of 13 or a small gathering at a gravesite or a small group doing a process that's meaningful to them. And then competency three is knowledge of pagan history and diversity, so that we understand our place in the movement of paganism in America and in the world. So we try to make sure that people understand where we've come from, where we are now, and where we're going, and our responsibility to serve the broader community.
Right.
Competency, it's really an eye-opening thing to realize that you're not in it for yourself, that you're in it for the community and for the good of the community.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll talk about two more competencies. We'll take a little break, and then I'll talk about the other five. So competency
okay.
four is an understanding of life passages and leading life passage rites. And one of the things I've been so impressed with Circle Sanctuary is its understanding of life passages that are relevant to a changing society. When issues and the beauty of people developing, say, an LGBT identity or being non-binary or having other kinds of life issues come up for them, whether they have children or will never have children, whether people now want to be more out as a pagan and what it means to have a pagan funeral and a green burial. So understanding of life passages, that's a whole other podcast in and of itself. And then the fifth competency is an understanding of pagan ministry, philosophy, and the ability to provide pastoral care. Now, we understand our limitations, and one of the great things about Circle is it gives specific training for folks so that they understand their limitations, what issues they mm-hmm. can handle, and when they need to refer issues to that. We actually have had four sessions at one point on spiritual counseling by telephone, via campus
mm-hmm.
ministries, doing counseling and clergy confidentiality. I mean, the pagan community is so small. We're 2 or 3 degrees of separation from each other. Yet Circle
right.
insists that we have maintain confidentiality. And spiritual counseling in hospital settings and in military settings and chaplaincies. So that's five of the competencies. Deborah, what does that bring up for you in your time?
Well, it's funny. I will tell you a not very flattering story about me. I learned that if you tell Swinny you don't know to do something, you get to do that. So I do public ritual, but you're talking about small public ritual, like at the most 50 people, typically 25 to 30. And the idea of doing large public ritual is not something I'm still not comfortable with totally, but had no experience in. And so my first PSC as a minister training student, I got to help facilitate the women's ritual.
Oh,
and it was a really great experience. Another minister was there with me. She took me through the process. She did not let me just say, well, let's do whatever you want. She made me come up with things, and it really taught me a lot. So, again, and at least when I – and I think probably most students will say, you get to you get to walk in the water, but you have a safety net. You have people around who love you, who support you, and are expecting you to make mistakes and expecting you to have lots of questions. And it was a really safe but real exciting environment for me to try to do that. So it was just kind of fun. So, again, and I will give a plug to both of you. Something if people are thinking about coming to Pagan Spirit Gathering or PSG, obviously 1,000 people go, so we have rituals that, 800 to 1,000 people attend, and both of you have created and led those rituals, and typically there's a call to the community that if somebody's interested in participating that you get to. It's another really good way that I've learned. I mean, I've taken a lot of things that you and River have done and kind of, I won't say steal, I'll say incorporate, and bring them home
sure.
and put them in a different way for my group. So that's another great
mm-hmm.
way. I always say if you are interested in that, that you have a lot of experience to, you know, a call to do that. But, yeah, I really, and it's funny, I learned through these different competencies, and we had very similar competencies. They weren't this formal. But for me, my experience was when I started, minister was a noun. It was something you were. And when I ended, it was a verb. It's something you did. And that was a big transition for me to go through, So, yeah, it was really, and like I said, I was a turtle. I mean, I was like, I think 5 years going through the program, and I wouldn't change one day of it. I mean, I really learned so much, and the interaction and the community, and I was really surprised. You know, I thought I knew Circle. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of things Circle does that I didn't really know about. I mean, we have a lot
right.
of outreach, and we touch a lot of different areas.
It's very true.
Absolutely.
Well, for sake of continuity, let me run through the last of the five competencies in case people are wondering what Circle covers in its curriculum. These
right.
are the competencies that then we bring in seasoned teachers, people with credentials and expertise in these various things, and we weave those into the classes. But these are the competencies. So the last five competencies are to have basic skills in pastoral psychology, counseling, and social work. Now, we're not saying that people end up with an MSW or a degree, but you learn these basic principles from these disciplines that help you understand how to be in community and when to refer, because we
right.
can't just treat
is
issues. Right. It's so important. The next competency seven, is to have the ability to effectively work in an interfaith environment. You know, it's one thing to be in the pagan community, but there is intrafaith and interfaith competencies.
Right.
You know, Wiccan is just one way of being in the world,
absolutely.
But there are several kinds of Wicca.
There are many ways.
There are...
Right.
There's the heathen community. There are so many different paths that people follow
right.
that it's important to effectively work in an interfaith environment. Now, that doesn't mean that we teach a global religion course. We don't have the time for that. But we teach people how to have radical respect for other people and how
right.
to carry yourself when you're in a group where people are coming to you with experiences from their own. There's never any proselytizing,
right.
but a supportive environment. And
right.
then more personally, competency eight is divine alignment. Circle does not have a dogma, does not say you must believe this. But the one thing that has come from Selena down the line and the other Circle ministers over the years is that everybody has to have a clear understanding of themselves, their own divine alignment, and then their spiritual place in the world so that they can effectively not get burnt out and also
right.
have something to offer the community and know when and how to step up in the moment when there's a community need or a very specific individual need.
Mm-hmm.
Competency nine is an understanding of religious freedom and civil rights. And Circle Sanctuary has had leadership that either at the state level or it's at the local level or at the national level and at the global level where people are speaking out about religious freedom and making a place for paganism in the world that's respected and also models respect. And then the last competency for this listing is the ability to provide education and organized events for the community. And so mm-hmm. this is where you learn about teaching, and you also learn about what it means to have a well-run event that takes into consideration a variety of needs for people and make sure that you right-size the event for the given group that you're serving. So out of all of these competencies, some people realize that, wow, this mantle of being clergy is quite a weighted blanket of responsibility. And I think people also realize that they would like to just be a teacher or just be a ritualist,
there are other ways
but
to
not
serve,
have this fuller.
I agree.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah. Can you talk a little bit about that, and then we'll pass over to River?
Yeah. No, I have met many people who maybe started out this path and realized they wanted to go somewhere else, and that's what they said. There are many valid and as enriching ways to serve Circle other than clergy is just one. So there's many
mm-hmm.
doors, everyone's gifts.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
And then part of the challenge for students going through the program is to figure out, you know, what are their gifts, what are they called to, and you could be called to something that you're not really good at first, and so you got a little bit of a learning curve to go up. And one of the things I enjoy within Circle is that this community in general, and the ministers who have already become ministers associated with Circle, you know, there's a lot of really competent, wonderful, and talented people that are involved in this experience of creating Circle Sanctuary
mm-hmm.
and propagating it into the broader culture, and supporting people who are attracted to our events, or attracted to our teaching,
right.
or attracted to our works. I felt like this list of competencies, there's a lot of things to know, and when I look at it, I think I'm okay and pretty competent at most of them, but there are some things that are my, you know, my go-to wheelhouse of you mentioned Deborah, rituals work. I love ritual work, and ritual work is so important.
Both of you are excellent, and I have learned so much from both of you.
And, you know, rituals, thanks very much, Deborah. Rituals are it's kind of like flowers. You know, you've got a garden with flowers, and rituals are little bursts of color and bursts of an experience
uh-huh.
in a community. And I think that's why, at our premier festival, PSG, there's a lot of different rituals. A lot of,
absolutely.
We mentioned rites of passage rituals, which are important and unique. But then there's just a whole lot of rituals that relate to personal transformation, the hunt,
right.
Tribal drum and dance ritual, the warrior blessing, if you're to acknowledge kind of the military side of things. There are many different rituals that we do, and so being a ritualist is a really good thing for someone who wants to serve the pagan community. But like the garden and the flower analogy, there are so many different kinds of ritual that it depends on what you're trying to do, how you would approach to do it. Large group rituals have particular challenges, and that's one of the things. That's why we specifically include that in the competency number two, facilitating the large group. And small group, it's got its own.
Mm-hmm.
Necessary considerations as well. And riffing off the other competencies, the interfaith environment, one of the things that we do at Circle is we realize that Circle is offering programming and training and rituals to people who might be a range of pagans, and some, so it's kind of intra-faith. But some people may be there who are not strictly pagan, and in that case, the interfaith element of a ritual that's really accessible by many people of broader faith communities comes into play. So that's kind of where we've got a blending of the competency of ritual work and the competency of interfaith work, and that's especially on display whenever circle ministers are at a big event like the Parliament of World's Religions and the Interfaith Conference. We've had rituals there. It kind of brings those an intersection of those competencies to life.
No,
one of the
I
things
agree.
I've noticed is that.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah. Go ahead, Deborah.
Oh no, go ahead. I was just going to say many of us serve on interfaith panels, and the one thing, and again, I really acknowledge the training I had through Circle, and also in working with you all and other ministers, is I've learned when I'm on a panel with other faiths, Jewish, Catholic, Baptist. For them, I represent, so you really have to understand how to speak not just to your own path, but to the broader sense. And you're right, that is a tool that you need to learn to do.
One of the things that I've learned is that in the middle of having all of this training, you also have the support that you don't have to know it all and do everything. And Circle Sanctuary, for people listening in, please look at the CircleSanctuary.org website. CircleSanctuary.org provides a good overview of Circle Sanctuary Ministries. And if you haven't looked at it in a while, do take a moment and look at the About section where it talks about ministers, and you'll see over 30 ministers that are there. And if you know us, you know that we have different sets of strengths and skills and areas of expertise. And so we are exploring and making sure that we have a broad-based curriculum that gives people the basic clergy tools that they need. At the same time, we're recognizing that some people want to advance and grow and go on in their ministry and talk about chaplaincy work. And chaplaincy work has been something that we've talked about. Now, we talk about military chaplains, and then there are hospital chaplains. So, River, if you wouldn't mind, can you tell us a little bit about the recent student groups that are doing chaplaincy?
Sure. We've got a couple of students that have a particular interest in military chaplaincy, in that they are either have been or are in the U.S. military presently, and the folks who are part of our students who do that, they've had the opportunity and the responsibility to be a religious leader for a specific group. And there's I think the phrase is DRGL, and I'm trying to remember exactly what that acronym stands for, but it's essentially to say that that you've got you are a distinctively different religious group than the normal Jewish, Christian, and Islamic folks who are. You know, most people who are in the military are probably one of those, or they're, you know, agnostic or neither. But some are pagan. You got heathens, you got Wiccans, you got other kinds. And the challenge of helping the military services provide religious support and process and practice and, you know, being able to host their practices is part of what this chaplaincy is about. Also, there's a goal that I'd say it's a goal that we have as Circle Sanctuary to actually continue to propagate pagans into the normal world of society. In one area where that has been a persistent challenge, and we still haven't broken through this particular barrier, and that's to have a formal chaplain in the U.S. military who is formally designated as a pagan. So we've got a student now who has that ambition, who is in seminary in addition to being in the ministerial training program, and has an ambition to eventually become the first pagan chaplain in the U.S. Armed Services, and we're hoping that that will be a successful venture. It's been part of Selena's agenda probably for 2.5 decades, but talk about stars aligning. Stars do have to align in order for this to finally become successful, and I'm pretty optimistic. Then let me launch back into the other kind of chaplaincy that's very important is hospital chaplaincy.
Mm-hmm.
One of our ministers who was your classmate, Kern, he is a professional chaplain in a hospital and has been doing that for a long time, and there are a couple of folks in the program who are also experienced in hospital chaplaincy, but not through a pagan group. And part of what we're doing in that case is to give help them essentially move their affiliation toward a pagan group while they continue to do serve as hospital chaplains, and then help anybody else who has an ambition toward being a hospital chaplain to get the kind of skills they would need to be a foundation for that further growth. Eldridge?
Sure. One of the things that I've noticed is that Circle Sanctuary has been at the lead, and, hats off to Selena for having the vision for helping ministers and clergy be able to understand their role in society and to also work hand in hand with the structures that are already in society. So the pagan military work, the Headstone campaign, the Green Burial Initiative, all of these things take years and years of planning. And now we have over 30 ministers that can help carry on that vision and do the next part of the pagan movement in society. And Circle doesn't do it alone. They have affiliations with so many different pagan organizations, but we're all part of a goal of moving our presence and legitimacy in really important ways. So it's been great to see that as I've come into Circle, I've heard of Selena and known her tangentially over here on the East Coast, but then I realized, wow, what she's doing is laying the groundwork for future generations. And
absolutely.
One of the other yes. And so, I've learned a lot from her about interfaith work. I realized that when there was a national social justice movement for marriage equality, that was happening here in D.C. that had national scope, I made sure that I brought Selena in to represent at that national level and show pagans as squarely involved in issues that are important to the nation and to the world. So I realized that Circle Sanctuary has this amazing traction that allows us to do greater work. And so that's why the Circle Sanctuary training is growing and developing. We're actually, River and I are helping lead a project for our curriculum review and helping with continuing education for ministers that are already in Circle. Because I recently got ordained in the summer, and several people came up to me and said, well, now the work begins. And I thought, well, here's 4 years of my life that I have given in volunteer service to learn to be a clergy, but now you're telling me the work begins, and it's really been true.
That's that is true. You don't realize it, but let me ask you both a question. what if we have listeners out there that are thinking, well, that might be something I'm interested in. What qualifications or what type of students are you looking for, and what types of students, what qualities makes them successful in this program?
Interesting. I think most of the people that have come in to enter this program have already, usually they have been active in their own communities as a leader in some way, shape, or form. That is pretty common. People who've helped create organizations or run events or run a smaller group and do regular rituals there. Usually, it's folks who have gotten enjoyed the community building, the community service experiences that they've already had, but want to either increase their skills or broaden their horizons, or maybe they come to a pagan spirit gathering and enjoy the energy and the love and the welcoming that community has. And some people want to say, hey, I like that. I want to learn how to do that in my area, or I like this. And I want to continue to help make sure it stays healthy and stays growing. One of our students who's lives up in the Madison area was very, has a passionate feelings toward pagan spirit gathering as a really wonderful thing that Circle does to create the shape and the form and the environment for the PSG community to come annually and get together. And we all get fed by being part of that. I've been part of the PSG community for at least the last 10 years, and I've been going to PSG off and on for 25. But the one student's practice was she kind of focuses on the organized events piece of it, and her work is really learning how to do PSG, learning how to support that and become part of the fabric of creating and maintaining that that strong thing that's part of Circle. For people who want to apply, there is the Circle Sanctuary website that has a place that you can click on to get more information about the ministry training program. And in fact, it's described there, giving you all the process. It's described, and you would be asked to fill out, think about it for a while. And we actually ask people to write a spiritual biography, write a statement of purpose, and write a statement of ministerial philosophy, essentially a few essays. We want to know a little bit about you so that we can help begin to evaluate if you're a fit to the program that we have in this community that we're building. So we like to hear your biography. Why have you chosen to affiliate with Circle Sanctuary, and how would this ordination that you are potentially seeking, how is that going to support you in your own spiritual work? And then statement of ministerial philosophy. It's like, what is a minister and what their role in society is? And what do you think are essential skills for someone who's serving as a minister? And then, evaluate yourself on that. Sometimes people come in with a lot of strengths and a few weaknesses, and sometimes they're just very called and very eager and willing to grow through the whole process. Those are all parts of the ways to apply and the things that might help call a person into this sort of training. Eldridge, do you have anything else you want to expand on that?
Sure. I rarely have nothing to say. And so I think I want to put a call out to It's true. I think I want to put a call out to people that are considering doing clergy work and understanding the bona fide necessity of serving the pagan community, not out of a sense of ego, but out of a sense of we are really emboldening and helping people from a minority community religion navigate their way in the world and to become a presence that can affect change around themselves with their sphere of influence. And that if people can have that heart, then they should look at the materials that River just talked about applying to the ministry training program. Now, at the same time, River and I are trying to figure out what our capacity is. We currently have 15 students, and it is
That's a lot
to administer when we're also doing it remotely. But Zoom technology has helped a lot, and the classes and the homework, mostly the homeworks are reaction papers and being able to talk in small groups about the homework that we give as a way of developing your ministry. So that's one level. But at the same time, I wish when I was 20 years old, I had this opportunity to consider doing clergy work and maybe going from my bachelor's degree into a master's degree that I could have gone into an MDiv program. And there are various ways of doing an MDiv that are out there, a Master of Divinity, that are out there. And you can explore them through Circle Sanctuary, through the UU Church, through other more progressive divinity schools and seminaries. But we're working on a new program with a seminary that we should be able to announce in the summer or the fall here, about having a degree in eco-theology, and that this becomes a great bridge for people that are in traditional MDiv studies, but also for pagans. So if you're out there listening and you think that you want to go back to school in your 40s or your 50s, or if you're just in the academic world, in your bachelor's or in your 20s and 30s doing this work, consider maybe joining the on-ramp into actual MDiv seminary work, because there's a bright future. Something that I didn't have in my time, I didn't have it as an option, but Circle Sanctuary is working to align itself with the seminary to be able to have an on-ramp for pagans into the Master of Divinity training program with a certificate program and an actual degree program in eco-theology. So that's pretty
really
exciting.
Fun.
So if you're out there and you're interested, give us a give us a call.
And then thank you for bringing that up as an important new thing that is percolating within Circle. Another thing that comes to mind about why someone might be or interested in ministry training through Circle, a lot of pagan groups start off in small groups. Some of them have tradition-wise programs for first degree, second degree, third degree kind of thing. That's a very traditional Wiccan way. And some folks have the benefit of that formation process. And some just don't have that structure. I grew up in a very eclectic pagan tradition without such formal trainings, and so I got my training through my own study. I eventually associated with a group that I got a lot of leadership and ritual training through but it wasn't Circle. And so regardless of, if you've had coven training or small group training and you want to broaden what you can do the Circle Ministry Training Program might be a good fit. If you are part of Circle and you want to serve Circle's community, because from within it you find it, it's worthwhile and you feel called to do that, that's a good reason to get into the Circle's Ministry Training Program. And if you're attracted to what you would learn here, but you're not, you don't have already existing roots in Circle Sanctuary, that's part of what we try to do in phase one, especially emphasize is get to know what Circle is and what Circle does, mm-hmm. and build connections with the individuals that are the Circle Sanctuary community. That's for the students that are far flung and not part of Circle, that's part of what we're emphasizing that these days in phase one, so that whenever they get to the end of the process and get ordained as ministers, they have a sense of this community that they're now a part of, as well as enhanced skill sets to be able to serve all of the communities they are a part of.
Well said. Well, we're almost at a close. Do each of you have any thought or last thing that you would like to say about the Circle Sanctuary's Minister Training Program?
I'd like to say that it is exciting to come into a community that I've known of and have had respect for and realize how much is ahead in the future. And that for the 30-plus ministers that Circle Sanctuary has, we have great potential to talk and connect. And we've started a new practice called Circles of Connection, which are our small group discussions that allow us to grow deeper as ministers and to be able to have deeper levels of conversation to solidify and to bolster our ministries. And at the same time, we have this program that helps people in the ministry training program for them to consider what they're called to do, what difference they want to make in society, what depth they have inside themselves. And there's just so much potential there. And finally, we're able to help launch a kind of a new generation of people that go right from high school to college and into a ministry of divinity program that I think is going to help the pagan community in ways that we don't yet understand as we develop our presence and our place in our leadership and our gift to society. That's kind of where I'm at with take yourself seriously and take ministry seriously. It's a gift to the world.
Mm-hmm. And I'll mention the Pagan Spirit Gathering is a really important part of my year. And there, we have the Pagan Leadership Institute. I've been an avid participant in that, and now I'm the coordinator for it to help offer leadership training to any pagan who happens to be at Pagan Spirit Gathering. Mm-hmm. And I find that we have a thread of camaraderie usually in some of those conversations. And mm-hmm. that's part of the pagan ministry training program, but it's not, you don't have to enroll to be part of that. But mm-hmm. But we do, offering ways for people to learn to be better leaders, learn to be better counselors, learn to be community builders and ritualists. All of those things are we're just weaving the fabric of the pagan community stronger and stronger. And I think that's the prime reason for being involved in this sort of training effort.
Well, I want to thank you both so much for taking time out. This discussion has been wonderful, and I have more questions, so I'll have to have you both on again. I personally know you're both wonderful, but I know that you all are in your service. You're giving a big gift to the Circle Sanctuary community, and also I think the entire pagan community. So I'd like to thank both of you, and I'm excited to see what you two do next.
Thank you, Deborah.
Thank you so much. Thank you for the invitation.
And thank you for continuing to support all the Circle Talk work and keeping the airwaves full of interesting information and pagan culture.
And it's kind of funny.
And thank you to
go ahead.
And thank you to Deborah and to David and Jeanette Ewing for doing this work and keeping this going. I don't know if the Ewings and Deborah, if you understand the impact that you have in creating these topics and these conversations. It's a great repository of information for the future.
And it's kind of fun. I will say this, and it ties into you to what you two do, is that Circle Ministry was my practicum. So, absolutely. And it was not something I knew anything about, nor was I interested in, but Selena had a vision, and yes, she said when she met me, she knew, and during my course, I was kind of guided into, and as you said, it started out as my practicum, and now it's part of my ministry for Circle. So it's really fun. So it's kind of interesting. That's how this all got started. Well, are either one of you, I think I know River is, are you going to Pagan Spirit Gathering this summer?
I will definitely be a Pagan Spirit Gathering. I'm looking forward to it. At first, I never understood how I could carve out a week of my life to do it. But as Reverend Tristan told me and then later scolded me, you could have been doing this a long time. And now PSG is really a mainstay of my spirituality. And being with so many pagans for a week gives you so many different levels of experience. So if you haven't been to PSG, please make time. Figure out a way to be there.
Absolutely. It reconnects me and it fills up my tank. And it just, yes, it is absolutely wonderful. And remember, you all, Pagan Spirit Gathering is going to be really fun this year because it's PSG's 40th anniversary. So please come and celebrate summer solstice in a magical pagan community village. And it's during summer solstice week, June 14th through the 21st. It'll be in a new location, too. We're going to be at the Pulaski County Fort Leonard Woods Shrine Camp near Waynesville, Missouri. So kind of in the middle of the country. So please come. If you want to register or find out more information, go to circlesanctuary.org and click on the events tab and then check Pagan Spirit Gathering. You can get more information, you can register, and you'll be able to see all the musicians and presenters that we're having this year. I'd like to thank David and Jeanette, as we said earlier, for their support, our technical expertise for our show. And finally, I'd like to thank all of you out there, our listeners, for your continued support of all of our shows here on Circle Sanctuary Network Podcast, or CSNP. Our next Circle Talk will be Tuesday, March 17th. So come back. We're now going to transition with a musical selection. Good night, everyone, and blessed be.
Blessed be.
One spirit in the dark, like a candle wavers. Many spirits joined as one, burn with the power of the blazing sun. There is strength in community, a circle empowering you and me. The circle binds, yet sets us free. In the goddess name, so mote it be. One spirit in the dark, like a candle wavers. Many spirits join.
Thank you for joining us on the Circle Sanctuary Network podcasts, presented by Circle Sanctuary and produced for all who follow the Nature Center paths. Join us here throughout the week for various programming connecting the community around the world. And please don't forget to watch for updates on the Circle Sanctuary website at www.circlesanctuary.org. And follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/CSNpodcasts. We can also be found on your favorite podcast hosting sites, such as iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and others. And until next time, many blessings.
Keep yakking and yakking.